Amen. So today I want to start something new, and to just take it all through the month. It's relatively different from what I've done before or what we've done before, but we just thought that sometimes we should go and talk about some things that we don't talk about. Amen. Because sometimes the church is very good at just talking about only one side of the story. And then we try to hide away from some difficult topics and things that some people may find difficult or find interesting. And so this month, I want to talk about some of those interesting things. And you can join the conversation too. There's an email that you can send questions to. I may be able to categorize it and then talk about them under the same umbrella. But today I'm going to start with it. It's I will title this whole series, You Asked For It. Look at your neighbor, say, You Asked For It. Oh, yeah. So we're going to be talking about You Asked For It all throughout the month of November. If you have your Bibles this morning, which you should, please open to Psalms 146. Psalms 146. And by the way, today is national, is it national or international Bible Day? Can somebody say amen? Amen. You know, sometimes we take for granted that we can have personal Bibles now. There was a time people can't have Bible. Bibles was like computer. People didn't have, everybody didn't have Bibles. It was only the church or in some secret places. But now everybody carries Bible everywhere. You know, if I say open your Bibles, people don't even need to open. I think now in church we should just say tap. You know, because we really don't open, we tap. Even preacher too now is also tapping. But we thank God for what God has done with the Bible. The Bible has affected every civilization. It's because of the Bible that we have education. It's because of the Bible that we have printed materials. It was because they wanted to print the Bible that the invention of the printing machine came to be. And that's why when sometimes people think that when we talk about the Bible being part of our culture and being part of this society, people think we are trying to redefine history. No, is the Bible actually was what made history to be what history is. I mean, is it not the death of Jesus that broke history into two? Is it not because of Jesus that we have BC? What does BC mean? Before Christ, what does AD mean? After death. So Jesus stands as the divider of history. And the Bible is the story about Jesus. Can somebody say amen to that? So we are excited that the Bible is growing, and we pray that this word will keep finding expression in our world in Jesus' name, especially in our country, that this Bible will be something that will gain ascendancy again in this country in the name of Jesus. So Psalm 146, and we'll start from verse 1. It's quite a reading this morning. We'll read two places, you know. Please, if you can bring down the heat, it's hot in here, or is the heat of the Holy Spirit? Oh, some people are saying it's not warm. It's okay. It's just okay. No, you can still bring it down. They will find out soon that it will be warm. Before they find out, we don't want them to be hot. Okay. All right. Don't worry. It will not be easy. We'll just bring down the heat so that some people will not be sweating profusely here. All right. The Bible says, "Praise the Lord." Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Verse number 3. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. That scripture, if you were to write it today, princes will be presidents. Princes will be mayors. Princes will be governors. Princes will be senators. Do not put your confidence in them. When their spirit, verse number 4, when their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Verse 5, blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob. Is somebody's help the God of Jacob this morning? Is somebody's help not from White House, but from the house above? Amen? Is somebody looking unto God that made the universe instead of unto the man that God made? Can I get a witness here this morning? And I'm telling you that that God of Jacob will show up for you this week. In the name of Jesus. He says, so blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is the Lord their God. Verse number 6 says, he's the maker of heaven and earth. I'm always excited when I read scriptures when God says, I am the maker of heaven and earth. You know, because sometimes people almost think that God is the maker of heaven. You know, he's in heaven. But he's also the maker of earth. And so if there's anything troubling you on earth, you need to understand that the government is not the maker of earth. As powerful as America is not the maker of this earth. Is God. And that God will show up for you this week in the name of Jesus. The sea and everything in it. Oops, you moved faster than me, sir. The sea and everything in them, he remains faithful forever. Number 7 says, he opposed the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. Verse number 9. The Lord watches over the foreigners. God like refugees. Amen. God like immigrants. Amen. Amen. This is a place where you get a very good amen. Can I get an amen? God like immigrants. That should make you happy. Some of us are not immigrants. We found ourselves here. You know, it's very funny when you read history and then somebody said, we discovered America. And there were people already here. I mean, I thought that if you discover something in an invention kind of thing, you are the first to discover it. But if you discover something that has been discovered, you don't say you discover it. But that's not where I'm going this morning, so let me not get into history lessons. All right? So the Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Can somebody say amen? And the Bible ends, we say, praise the Lord. Okay. Now let's also open to Titus. We don't usually read that script, that book, you know, so that some people will not be thinking of lunch. You know? But I mean, you should read all Bible books, but sometimes it's not a more read book. Okay, Titus number chapter 3, and we'll read from verse 1 to verse 8. Titus 3, 1 to 8. This is how it goes. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable, to be considerate, and always to be gentle toward everyone. At one time, we who were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures, we lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of our righteousness, things we had done, but because of his mercy, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Verse 8, last verse. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things, so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and are profitable for everyone. Can we say amen to the word of God? So this morning I want to talk about, you asked for it. And I'll focus more on politics because that's where I want to go this morning, you know. November last year, many of us about this time were surprised. Some were positively surprised. Some were negatively surprised. They didn't know what happened. And some people, they are still surprised till now. They are still battling and wondering, how do you deal with this guy in the White House? You know, how did it happen? Some people want to break it and say it's Russia, it's all this, it's that and all of that. And there may be arguments for or against, you know, whatever people believe about what happened last year election. But there is something that you and I need to know about government. God is interested in government. Can I get amen to that? There was a time in the church never wanted to do anything with politics. Never. Then another time came, the church was so much in politics and they got so entangled in politics. In fact, if you have heard the word separation of state and the church and the state, it was because there was a time the church was ruling the ruling. The church was in charge. Orders were coming from the Vatican, or the Pope was in charge of everything. And the church didn't do too well with that, you understand? So there was this principle that now came and said, well, let the church be on its own and let the politics be on its own. And then about that time, that's when things like sacred and secular started coming to being. When people would say, this is sacred, this is secular. So some people, whenever you ask them or whenever you meet them, they have a sacred part to them and they have a secular part to them. And sometimes you can't merge the two. So you see a person in church, the person you see in church is different from the person you see outside church, because they've been able to now separate the church and the state, or separate the sacred from the secular. But the intention of God has never been for any man to be a separated, segregated kind of person. God has always wanted that if I see you now, the same you I see here will still be the same you are when I go to work, the same you I will meet. The way you are gentle here, and you know, when people greet you and even do things against you, you take it with, you know, you don't react. That's the way God wants you to be everywhere. So God doesn't want this whole dichotomy of sacred and secular. He wants everything to be together, because we are a being, a single being, and that our being, God wants it to find expression everywhere. Amen to that. So this morning, I will go into some areas of politics. I know sometimes as church, we don't want to talk about it. And don't think that I'm going to give you opinions about, is the guy in White House doing well? What happened in, where's this city now? Alabama, the senator. No, that's not where I'm going this morning. But I just want to give you the perspective of God with God, as it relates to government. And what you, as a child of God, should be doing. As a citizen of this country and as a citizen of the heavenly kingdom. No, so the scripture that we just read this morning, that Psalm 146 from verse 1 to 10 tells us something that God knows and is interested in government. God is interested in government. So, and there is something about where we place our focus. Now, because God is interested in government does not mean that the answer to life's problem is from the government. Especially if you're in a country like this. Some of us that have grown up in countries where things don't work don't put too much faith in government, right? Because some countries, people are their local government. They call themselves local government because they provide their electricity, they provide their own water, they provide every other thing, you know. But in systems where things work a little bit more, people tend to overput emphasis on the government, overput emphasis on people. But you see, ultimately, our emphasis and our focus should be on, okay. So if you look at verse 3, the Bible makes us to understand that while it is important to participate in political system, we can't let it become an idol in our life. One of the things that happened last year was that there were families that the political situation last year so much affected people that in people's families, people had issues. You will see a father who is Republican and a mother who is Democrat, you know, fighting each other because of
different views and because of the personalities that were representing the different parties. And it now started assuming another importance than it's supposed to assume. Now, I'm not saying government is not good, but government should not be an idol in our life. Because verse 3 lets us understand that every human being is susceptible to failing. No matter who you voted for in November last year, every human being is not God. So he says, do not put your trust in priests or in human beings who cannot save or who can fail. Don't put yourself in systems. Don't put yourself in a government. Don't put your trust in a government. Don't put your trust in church system. Our trust always should be on God. Our trust always should be on God. In verse 4, the Bible says, in that scripture, it says, when their spirit depart, they return to the ground, and on that day, their plans come to nothing. Their plan come to nothing. There's a good side to this, that sometimes when even politicians make noise and make threats and do everything, you need to remember that they don't have the final say. God does have the final say. God has the final say, because sometimes people take words from politicians so serious and they let it bother them so much, but God has the final say. So there is no politician that can be more powerful than God. I think it was last week I was telling you guys here that I was reading, and I didn't really follow up with that news, but there was an ex-president or ex-leader of a country that was arrested. They said fraud and stuff like that. That means that sometimes when people have power and when they are out of power, they even still get in trouble. So the only person with ultimate power is God. Is God. So when people are powerful, don't let that be where your trust will go. Because even earthly people, earthly politicians, they can be more powerful than God. So no earthly figure will, every earthly figure will come and go. But our God is always on the throne. Can we get amen to that? So God was not enthroned, so he can't be dethroned. You know, God is the only one that didn't start, so he can't end. We started an administration January 20, 2017. That administration will end, whether it's two terms or one term, it will end. But this God, his administration never started. And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, you always want to align more with him than align with any political system or any earthly system. Because his system, or he as a person, is the best thing that can happen to you. Amen to that. Amen. Now, if we go to verse 6, 7 and 9 of that scripture that we read, God put some, he said some things about himself, or there's some things that were spoken about God there that I believe should be our emphasis rather than the system. We as the church of God, our responses to politics, to political system, should be like that. We in our own little corner should be making that difference. Now, I understand your vote counts a lot. Your vote means a lot. But much more than putting your trust in the fact that when I vote for this XYZ person, this is what they will do. You need to understand that God wants to also use you to effect a change. Because the ultimate purpose of this political system is to effect changes, right? But God wants to use you. God wants to use me to effect a change. The Bible says in verse 6, 7, and 9, verse 7 and 9, it says he upholds the cause of the oppressed. He gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. That's what God is all about. Now, if there is a political system that is able to do that, praise God. But if there is no political system that is doing that, that should not mean that we, the people of God, can't be involved in that. Can I get amen to that? Because many of the times we are always thinking that we are too small, we are too little, or what can what only me do? What will it do? What is my own little contribution? What is it going to matter? How is it going to make anything different? It can do a lot of things. Because God is a God of justice, from the scripture that we just read. He likes justice. So that means that we can be his hands, we can be his legs, we can be the instruments that he will use to perform these things that we read in the scriptures. And so God can help us, and God wants to use us to protect the oppressed. There are people being oppressed. You know, if you've been reading the news, one of the latest things that almost comes out every day now is somebody coming out and saying, I was sexually assaulted. And, you know, they say all kind of things. So when that person says that, 3-4 other people come out and say the same thing. And the system that had been set up before had been oppressing people such that people like that wouldn't come out. Now, I know that some people will come out for political reasons or for whatever reasons, and it may not be completely true. But you see, there is something going on there where many people have been kept short or kept quiet for a long time. And some of us, we may be the voices of God, the hands of God for some of these people. Some of us work with some people like that. They are the oppressed, and God wants to set them free. Some of them want to talk to you. Some of them want to relate to you. You should be the ears of God. Me, I should be the hands of God. I should be the legs of God, helping to make sure that these oppressed people are protected. So there's all kind of oppression. Sometimes the oppression is physical. Sometimes it's emotional. There's a lot of emotional oppression in our world today. In the name of all kinds of things, even on social media. There's a lot, if you know, there are more social media motivated suicides now than ever before. It's oppression. People are terrorists on social media, terrorizing people at school. School kids, they'll be on social media and they'll be terrorized. So, man of God was telling us a story yesterday about somebody that doesn't sleep till 4 a.m. every day. She's on social media, she's on Facebook. And then they were telling the parents that, you know, they did all kind of tests on the young lady, and they were trying to find out why she's not doing well at school and all that. And it boiled down to social media. And they suggested to the parents that, why don't we take the phone away from the lady? They said, ah, no, that would mean that we are depriving her and all of that kind of thing. And you shake your head and you wonder that, who is the parent, you know? But that's not where I'm going this morning. But you get the gist. There are oppressed people. There are people out there that need help. Many of the times, church people, especially some of us that African descent, we are too self-focused. I heard something on the radio this morning while I was coming to church. And the guy said, you should be asking yourself a question that if your prayer was answered, who would be better off by the answer to your prayer? If God were to answer all your prayers, who is going to benefit? I know the answer for most people here. Me. And nobody else. Now, it sounds laughable and all that, but that's not what God has called us to. God has called us to protect the oppressed. And sometimes we may not be completely, you know, we may also be dealing with things too. But I'm declaring that in the name of Jesus, this Jesus that offers freedom indeed, everybody oppressed in this house this morning, under what kind of guise of oppression, you are free in the name of Jesus. But your responsibility is to help people. Help the oppressed. And they don't have to come to church. You know, when you read scripture, sometimes read the what God says. For example, this scripture. Can you back up to verse 6, please? Isaiah, Psalms 146 and verse 6. Okay, 7. It says, he opposed the cause of the oppressed. Did he say in the church? No. He didn't say in the church. So the oppressed may not even be in the church. The oppressed may be your colleague at work. And you are the reason why you are God's hand and feet is not necessarily that the person even comes to church sometimes. But it can be a step before they come to church. So God protects the oppressed. Another thing we see from that Psalm 146 is that God feeds the hungry. God feeds the hungry. And victory as we are going to feed the hungry. Can I get an amen to that? Oh, because there are people that are hungry. There are people that are hungry. That's in physical hunger, not just the word of God. Because sometimes when we read the word of God, like we just spiritualize it and say, wow, that hungry for the word. Yeah, praise God for that. But sometimes people are hungry to eat. There was one guy that I met not too long ago, I think maybe like last month. And the guy,
I think I was coming from a Starbucks, and he said a lot of things. I didn't hear the full details. And the end of the statement was like, I just need something like $5 to buy food. And I was just moved by God. And I give him $20. The guy, I saw the expression on his face like, what just happened here? And that's what God wants to use us for. Not randomly, not just once in a while, you know, long time, once a year, once in 3 years, but every day. He will send people like that our way. Now, I know that sometimes you have to exercise discretion because some people are always looking for a quarter every day, you know. Dollar, it's always a dollar every day. You need to exercise discretion, but God wants you and I to be his eyes, to be his hands, to protect the oppressed, and to feed the hungry. Another thing God said he does, or what scripture says God does, is this. He brings righteousness to the justice system. He brings righteousness to the justice system. You know, in Victory House, we say that what God has called us to do is to release potentials and impact the world. So I believe that every time I'm speaking here, or anybody is speaking here, there is somebody listening that if they do something with the word of God, God will help them to impact the world. And I believe there is somebody listening this morning who God will help to impact our justice system in the name of Jesus. And what God wants to do is bring righteousness there. Another thing the Bible says, and I just have to move a little faster now because of time, is that he wants us to bring both physical and spiritual healings to others. He wants to bring physical in verse 8. That's what he says. He wants us to bring physical healing. Oh, there are people physically hurting. And I believe in miracles. I believe in the God of miracles, the God that does miracles. But there are many times also that you need to help people get medicine. It is not against the Bible. Can I get amen to that? Because some people are from the school of thought that, oh, if somebody is sick, just lay hands on them. Yes, I'm from that school of thought. But there are sometimes when people are sick, they may just need a medicine. They are deficient of some, you know, nutrients and all of that. That's what you need to. And God is calling us to both. He's calling us to pray for people and let people be healed. And it's okay to pray for people in places. Hold hands with people and pray for them. Pray in the hospital. It's okay to do that. But also God is expecting us to bring physical healing too. To bring healing with our words. To bring healings with our actions. To bring healings into things that we find ourselves involved in. Because this God does that. And is expecting you and I to do that. Then in the B part of verse A, the Bible says God exalts those with character, not just those people who have wealth or power. God exalts those with character. God is watching over what people do. God is interested in what people do. Now, some people they will say things like, well, it doesn't matter what you do. Once you just believe God. But you see, God is not necessarily like that, because God understands that what people do really, really, really matters. And so one of the things God wants to do is he wants to place people who he knows that will do the right thing. He wants to place them in authority, and he wants to place them in power. And when you also have the opportunity to be in places where you either suggest or influence that anybody gets into anything, make sure we are not only looking at people who have power alone, or people who are wealthy alone. You know, I started watching one series recently, and I stopped watching series because after a while, sometimes you watch some of this and you're like, well, I thought I just wanted to just watch a TV series, but this is becoming like an adult movie or something like that. And you don't know where they are going with all. But I started watching this series on Netflix, Greenleaf. I don't know if anybody has seen it. Okay, some people have seen it. All right. And you should know why I'm interested. It's talking about church. So that got my attention. And one of the things I saw in this series was that, and it's happening in church, people are not getting positions because of what they can do. It's because of what they can give. It's happening in the church. And some people may be saying, well, yeah, pastor, preach it. But do you know some of us are also doing that in our little ways?
We are promoting things. We are moving things. Not based on merit, like God is saying we should be doing, but based on, if I move like, it's like a chess game. If I take this move, I just, okay, come. Then that's what you are doing. So your actions, your what you are doing is more like politics. Well, I'm supposed to be talking about politics. But you are playing God, so to say. But that's not what God has called you to do. He has called us to exalt character, just like he has called, he also exalts character. Another thing we see in that Psalm 146 is that God is interested in immigrants. Can I get an amen to that? That's why in church, we should be interested in visitors. Can I get an amen to that? So sometimes when people come to church, they want to come and meet their friend. And that's okay. But God is not only calling us to people that look like us alone. He's also calling us to people that don't look like us, don't act like us, don't talk like us. They are also children of God. Can I get an amen to that? Because sometimes we stereotype people. Just, that guy, I know him. No. You know, if Victory House, if God has really caused us to, really, really called us to release potentials, then that means there are many, many people, the first time you see them, they will not look like it. Because potential is what is still hidden. It is not seen. So many people that God will still bring into places like Victory House, they are not people that will look like it. And you and I must be willing, just like God, who is looking out for the foreigner, we must be willing to accommodate those kind of people. Not only in church, but outside of church. You must be willing to accommodate strangers. It's always interesting that many people soon forget that we were all strangers one time or the other. Whether you were a stranger to a new job, you were a stranger to a family, somewhere along the line, you had been new to something. But many times, we tend to forget that we that have been new before, we are a little not so patient with other people who are new like us. You know? Sometimes, recently somebody was driving and I was saying some things, and I started recalling some of the things that happened to me when I started driving. And, you know, my dad will sit somewhere, wherever he sits. And he will not be holding the steering, but he will be controlling everything. You know, he won't allow me to be, you know. And after a while, I'm like, Daddy, do you want to drive? Because you're already driving. Just take these wheels and drive. Because he's driving with his mom. Don't do that. I'm like, oh, my word. But, you know, that's how many of us are behaving, too. We are not allowing the people that are new to things to also have, especially because we have been new, we should be able to feel them more. We should be able to empathize. We should be able to know that, oh, there was a time too I was like that person. There was a time too I was new to this, that I was just learning this, that I was just getting my teeth caught in this. So I should appreciate this person. I should give this person a chance. This person too will learn. This person too will grow. So God is calling us to be like him. The Bible says the Lord watches over the foreigners. And he's calling America to watch over the immigrants. Amen. I know some people will like that one. Say, please, pastor, preach it. Send it to White House. But this morning, we are not necessarily talking about White House. Although we are talking about politics, but we are talking about you. God watches over the foreigners. Watches over the foreigners and is expecting you and I to help those outside of our comfort zone, outside of our own familiar zones, outside of people that look like us. And sometimes it doesn't mean that you are completely out of the loop, you are completely sorted out all the way. No. You know, the way life happens is like simultaneous. Things are happening simultaneously. While you are growing, you are helping others grow too. While you are needing help, you are helping others also. Because some people, they think life is like, until I'm completely helped before I can help others. But there's no time like that. While I'm doing this, sometimes while I'm giving somebody money, the person may think I have so much money, but I gave him everything I have. Because God is helping me, and if I help other people, he will help me the more. And that's what God is calling you and I to do. He's saying that, look, we need to provide for people who are outside of our comfort zone. Another thing scripture says in this Psalm 146 is that God wants us to provide financial help to widows and orphans.
He wants us to. When people go through issues like what happened in Hurricane Harvey, if you remember, we raised an offering here. I hope some people contributed to that. But much more than that, God wants us to be interested in people like that, widows, orphans, people who are helpless, people who can't help themselves, people who may not even come to church, people who not everybody is seeing. God wants you to be his hand. He wants you to be his legs. This. Let me begin to bring this message to a close. In Titus chapter 3 from verse 1 to 8, now Paul begins to now, after we have read this Psalm 146, telling us what God does in contrast to our leaders, and he wanting us to be like that, not so much placing our trust in princes, but we placing our trust in him, and is the fact that we place our trust in him, that translates in us being his eyes, being his hands, being his legs, and doing the things that he does. Paul says this in Titus chapter 3 and from verse 1 to 8. He gives us our approach to leadership. Political or maybe not so political leadership. Any leadership anywhere. And he makes us to understand that Christians, you and I, we have a duty to our government. We have a duty to government. Before this election, I stopped listening to a particular TV channel because they demonized President Barack Obama. Now, I there were many things I didn't like about him, many things that he was doing. But if he assumes presidency, not because of color of skin or anything, I believe God let him get there. Same with President Trump. I mean, there are news networks that I listen to. I have my political views in a different, some of you may have heard me talk one-on-one about some of my political views. And, it's all over the place. It's based on the Bible. But I won't tell you my political view here. But, you see, there are some things that I agree with some news network, but there are some other things that I don't agree with. And I don't believe that any party, any political party, represent the word of God. Can I get amen to that? I know that sometimes when we come to church, they want us to believe that one political party is the one that stands for the word of God. No. And you as a Christian, when anybody assumes leadership, especially in a political system like ours, your job and my job is not to say, because they don't represent some of my views, because they don't look like the political party that I support, to now start speaking against them. Especially against their person, not the things they do. And of course, we should call out things that are not right. We should mention. But there's a way you can now focus on the person. Because that's what that news network was doing, especially to President Obama. Of course, some news networks now are doing it to President Trump. And that's not what you and I, as children of God, have been called to do. Our duty as Christians, as believers, in Titus chapter 3 from verse 1 to 8, the Bible says the duty of the believers is to be subject to rulers, subject to authorities, subject. Because you see, because God ultimately is in charge. Sometimes he may not look like it, but he has a plan. Sometimes you may not understand that, how can God use this kind of guy? This guy cannot be of God. No, God knows how to use people. God used Pharaoh, you know that, right? So God knows how to use people, even people that you'd be like, this guy must be the son of the devil. God knows how to use them. So when people assume leadership like that, yours and my job largely is to be subject to rulers and authority. I know some people don't like some of the things I'm saying this morning. Like, I thought we came to church. Is pastor trying to move our mind in a particular direction about voting? No. I'm just reading the word of God to you. I'm just telling you what the Bible wants you to understand. So God wants us to be subject. And this word subject that he used here is not subject that you are forced to be subject. Because, ultimately, people can be made to be subjected to authority by force, by use of lethal weapons.
But the subject that God wants you and I to be to authority is the voluntary one. The one that they don't have to push you to do. The one that they don't have to jail you to be able to submit yourself to it. So as good citizens, ladies and gentlemen, as I begin to wrap up this morning, God is expecting you to be subject to authority, to pray for leadership. I've held little political posts in my life. I mean, student organization, something, whatever, you know. And I can tell you that many times, leaders, there are many things going on in decision making. Some of the things that you are complaining about, it took a long time before some of those things came out. And many of the times, instead of anger, it's just sympathy we should be having for many of these people. I'm telling you. Some people are angry about it. Sometimes it's just sympathy that God help this guy. That's what your attitude should be. Because what you're angry about, although sometimes the political people don't know how to use words the right way. Many of the times they say what they shouldn't say, or they mean what they are not saying, or say what they don't mean. You know, they have all those kind of flaws and all of that. But many of the times, there's no right option, or there's no safe option. If they go to the left, it's dangerous. If they go to the right, it's dangerous. So you and I, our response to them should be sympathy. Our response to them should be praying for them. And Paul concludes in Titus, says, as good citizens, we believers must be ready to do whatever is good. Say, be ready to do whatever is good. Be ready to do whatever is good. God is calling you. God is calling me to be ready to do whatever is good in our community. Very soon, we are going to be inviting Victory House as a church that let us get to do something good in this community. Sometimes I don't like it when I come to church that there aren't people coming from downstairs here. I want people to be walking from their houses to this place because that's the reason for church. Church is not a place where people have to drive 10 miles. And it's okay to drive 10 miles. It's okay to drive 20 miles. It's all right. But really, church usually, God wants it to benefit the local community. Remember when church started in Acts chapter, in the book of Acts? They called them Christians because they saw the impact they were having in their community. So Christian was a nickname. It was not their original name. Their original name was the people of the way. That was their name. So Christian is our nickname. And they gave them that Christian because of the good they were doing in the community, because of the impact they were doing in the community. So lastly this morning, God as always and as he is now, he will be the one reigning forever. It doesn't matter any political party that is in power. You and I need to settle that in our heart, that God is reigning forever. And that any political power that, or any person that is in there at that time, God has permitted the person to be there. And your job, my job, is to do what the Word of God says we should do to them. We should not look up to them as our source, but we should look up to them as a channel that God can use if they align to use them. That's how we should look at them. So if we look to governmental institutions to bring complete peace and wholeness to the world, we are not looking at the right place. Because sometimes some people are looking at government, that government will be the one that will solve this problem, will solve that big problem, will solve that other problem. But can I tell you the truth? No government, no leader, no human government can bring peace, can really bring true peace to this world. It's God himself. That's why the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 9, when he was talking about Jesus from verse 6, he says his name shall be called Wonderful and Counselor, Prince of Peace. Then in verse 7, he says, "On his government, upon his shoulder will the government be. And to the increase of the government there shall be no end." So the peace, the real peace carrier is God himself. And the more we allow God to walk through us, the things that I showed us before in Psalm 146, the more we allow God to walk through us, the more we propagate that peace of God. The more we propagate that peace in our world. Because that's the only way that we can make God reign more and more. The political system is not completely dangerous, but that's not the solution to our world. The solution to our world is God through you and I that know him. I want you to bow down your heads this morning.